I just pray that Spirit will speak to us this message, which really is awesome. What we want to say today from Romans chapter 1. So it'll be with stammering lips and staggering portions here and there. But because you have spiritual ears, your ears are circumcised and your hearts are circumcised by God. So you and I are different in our... Oh, Lee White is here too, right? Lee, raise a hand. Lee, wow. We think about you. We think about you. Wow, it's good. We are different way we think and also what we have to say. The message that we have in a very, we are watching fascinating things happen on the news and on the streets and in the minds and hearts of American people. And we are very concerned about the very fundamentals of what we are believing and embracing in our hearts regarding life. And I want to share this with you. The key verse is Romans 1:1. I think Pastor Schibelli, many years ago, did you preach a message about separated under the gospel? Was it? Yes, separated under the gospel. Anybody remember that message? Yeah, some people. Separated under the gospel, separated under the gospel. That's Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Separated to the gospel of God. Do you remember in Luke 2, verse 10, maybe I don't even have to turn there. If I've got the guy up there in the booth running the Bible up here on the screen, Romans 2, Luke 2, 10. Yeah, I overrated him. Okay. He's overrated. There it is. Okay. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. This is the gospel. An angel from heaven. What's the context of this? The birth of Jesus. Where? Which city? Town of Bethlehem. Christ is born. What did the angel say? Angel is kind of like out of his mind. He's going, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I bring to you good tidings of what? Great joy, which shall be to all people. Russian, Chinese, Korean, Indians, all people. Great joy, great gospel. What was Paul separated unto? The gospel. Like separation means, in the Greek, the word there means to mark off by bounds. To separate, to determine, it is used of the divine action in setting men apart for the work of the gospel. You know, you have to be moved from the natural and what we would call just normal mind to another understanding, a deeper one. It's the same world, but I understand life in a different way. I am separated unto something that I see, that I grow in, and I realize is God's world, God's salvation of souls. We were in Habit of Grace on Thursday night. We knocked on the door, Pastor Palmier and I. Before, there was a big plaque on the front door. You are knocking on the door of an 8th Infantry Corpsman who has as tough as nails. And you would never want to get in a gunfight with him. And it went. It was really long. And Ramir and I are looking at the shabby house and this posting on the front door and wondering if we should knock on the door. And I said, let's go for it. We knocked on the door. An old man came out with a Marine hat on. And the whole thing, scruffy T-shirt, you know, spaghetti stains on it. And, you know, in his 80s. And when I looked at him, wow, I saw it, Jesus. I saw Jesus. I did. And when he started to speak, he was the kindest, sweetest guy. He said, I used to teach Sunday school down the street at the Baptist church. And I'm thinking, this sign totally misrepresents this guy. And I was so happy that this guy, we sat on the porch in the rocking chairs. We had fellowship. He was the sweetest, humblest guy. It was awesome. You know, the gospel is the greatest message, the greatest news to the world. But many times you and I can drift away into being nice people who believe in Christian ethics. Turn the other cheek, do good to your neighbor. And that's all the message is. It's just about being good people. And there is no gospel. The gospel is different. Gospel is unique. And Paul was separated unto it. And he understood it. So he wrote the book of Romans, which tells us with great detail, very profound, very profound. I think if you were in Paul's Bible school class and you listened to him for 3 or 4 hours or 5 or 2 weeks or a month or a couple of years, you would see how much he understood what the gospel is. And the Holy Spirit had him write it in poignant, profound, packaged statements. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, and these epistles with packed understanding. And we need to realize why we are here. Let me read this to you. We see in America real problems going on. Do you know what America needs? Let me read this to you. This is in London in the 19th century. John Richard Green, fired with the social gospel, with emphasis on Reformation, left Oxford, went down to London, into the sin-sodden slums. There he labored for 10 years. Went despairingly, he said, it's no use. These men will go on drinking and gambling until doomsday. Defeated, he went back to Oxford to write his History of England. Down into these selfsame squalid, sin-sodden slums went William and Catherine Booth, with hearts aglow, with the love of God for sinful souls, with only one gospel of the grace of God, they lived and preached Christ. The power of God unto salvation and to everyone that believes. Now, what are we looking at in America? I've got a couple of simple points to make. Number one, and I should start off with number one, God and God's mind. Is that up on the screen? Yeah, okay. Okay. We were in sauna yesterday with a bunch of guys, and we each had to have a Bible verse in the comment, and Josh Harris was there, and we said, what's your verse? He said, Nehemiah 8:1. He said, Ezra said, get the book. Get the book. So in the sauna, yeah, we're just talking like that. Get the book. Get the book. What book? The Bible. Get the book. That's what Ezra said. Get the book. This morning at 9 o'clock, Pastor Fire said the same verse. Get the book. Get the book. Sometimes the book is in the dumpster. Do you know that? It's in the dumpster. We had some missionaries on our team years ago. They rented out their house while they were in Hungary, and they came back one summer, and somebody came to them with their marriage, their wedding photo album, and they said, I thought you might want to have this. They said, where'd you find that? They said, in the dumpster. They were heartbroken. Somebody that they had rented their house out to had cleaned their house out and threw their wedding album in the dumpster. That might happen. But what if your Bible is thrown in the dumpster? What if God's Word is thrown in the dumpster? What if America turns away from God? What if the local school turns away from God and the university? Well, it's already happened. It's already happened. Where's the gospel? If you don't have the book, you don't have the gospel. You won't understand the gospel. If you don't have the book, get the book. That's what we're doing. Yesterday, a group of us went up to New Freedom, Pennsylvania, in memory of our summer there, 1987. Anybody remember it? Yeah, we went up there to New Freedom, Pennsylvania, where we had our transition conference from Lenox down to Maryland. But we went into town soul winning by faith. We've been doing this, go to small village, small town, by faith. So I get out of the car, and the Spirit just directed me to these two pickup trucks at a gas station. Yeah, and I go with a track holding it up, and the woman shakes her head, doesn't want it. I go to another guy there, and he goes, give this to that woman. So I did. I went over there. And she said, we just buried my mother in the cemetery. We're coming from a funeral. And I said to her and the little family, there's, I don't know, a lot of people there, actually a couple cars and stuff, and we had a talk. And in my mind, I know this amazing message of the gospel. Don't underestimate it. It's the power of God unto salvation. We're going to see my mother again. I said, yeah, I believe that there is a heaven. I'm sure of that, and we talked, and I said that Jesus Christ is the answer. That's the message. When we evangelize, we may not see the end result. When we evangelize, we may not see where is it going. And there's many ways that God works and he does it, but there's a couple of things that have to be very clear about it. One of them is God's mind. Let me show you something, please. It's kind of strange, but turn with me to Leviticus 18. It's not strange, actually. Get the book and read it. You have a church that's no message. There's no message in the church. Get the book. I have problems with my kids. Get the book. I don't know where I'm going in my life. Get the book. Get the book. Get the Word of God. What about my future? Get the book. You wouldn't believe what has happened in my life. It's like crazy, weird, strange. Get the book. I'm reading this chapter on purpose. It's a bit vulgar for us Americans. It's strange. It's kind of addressing paganism, but we can see where the world is going today when we leave the book in the dumpster. in the trash can when we don't care about it? What will happen to our family? Well, look at this text here, chapter 18, verse 7. The nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother you shall not uncover. She is your mother. You shall not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife you will not uncover. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father. Verse 10. Nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. Their nakedness. What is this about? It's about sexual and nudity. It's about homosexuality. Verse 22. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. How about animals? You shall not mate with any beast. Verse 23. I heard about that happening on a farm with a young man. And the shame. And the local high school found out about it, and the boy took his life. Why did he take his life? The shame, abomination, sin. You and I, we better get used to like what paganism before Christianity was. What was paganism like? It's this. This is Jewish law. Remember the phrase, America or Western civilization based on Judeo-Christian ethic? Remember that? That's what we're fighting for. But the meaning of this is really that it doesn't mean much to many people. They do not mean, what's wrong with looking at your naked mother, somebody could say. Well, to many of us, that's shameful. It's written in our hearts, Romans 2, 14 and 15. Many of us, that would be like a violation of a moral law. But the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans saying, that is what happens to the human heart because of sin. I would think with the theory of evolution and the development of the human race and the growth of technology that we would be morally way, way over here in a high place. Instead, we are reverting to paganism. Sex with animals, children, sex with orgies and family members and all of this shameful, wicked, evil activity. Well, if we don't believe in sin, if we don't believe in the Bible, we don't believe in God, if atheism is growing in large numbers, where do we expect to happen? Where does it go? What happens to the human race? Do we improve by nature? Leave God alone. Throw the Bible in the dumpster. You don't need to talk about those things anymore. Where is the human race going? It's going to hell. It's going to hell. There's no improvement in the human race. Morally, there's no improvement. It's the same wickedness that was in Cain when he killed his brother and Lot's daughters when they had incest with him and every other sin that is recorded in the Bible. It is the same human heart. There is no change. There's only cosmetic changes in our culture, and or there is a transformation, a new birth, a spiritual birth with a new heart and a new mind by God. By God. By the grace of God. Here's another little sauna lesson we had yesterday. It was fun. It was like, here's a bunch of people, and then here's a whole group of people, and then we could say, behind them is the devil, okay, And of course, behind it all is God. Then there was a time in human history when the world went so bad that all of the world was judged by water. And the whole world was covered with water. And Noah built an ark, and the only ones saved were the people in the ark, the animals and the people in the ark. And then God had a rainbow. And what did the rainbow mean? It was a promise. What did it mean? I'll never do that again. I'll never cover the world with water again. Now we are thousands of years later, and we have another group of people, and we can say they are representing homosexuality. And what's their sign? Rainbow. Why is the rainbow their sign? Could it be that the devil is putting that in God's face and saying, we'll be as wicked as we want to be, and you can never flood the earth again? Our sign is a rainbow. The devil puts it in God's face. Rainbow, rainbow, you can't destroy the earth again like that. Rainbow. I don't know if that's true, but I believe this. The devil is sticking it to God with our sin. I believe this, that the devil is real, and he's saying, in your face, I can destroy, I can take people to hell, I can mock you, I can hang you on a cross, I can crucify you, I can lie, I can slander, I can destroy what you are doing. God's answer, quietly, lovingly, graciously, is the gospel. It's the ministry. You may put my son on the cross, but you cannot keep him in the tomb. You may go after the church, but I will do a new thing. I give them a new heart and a new spirit. I call them righteous. I declare them righteous. They are righteous as I am, 100% righteous. They are in my heart and in my mind. Their names are in my book. You cannot take them away from me. Of all the Father has given me, I have lost none. And none has been plucked out of my Father's hand. You see, the gospel is not a social reformation. The gospel is one by one, by God's grace, he has the elect. One by one. One person at a gas station, one man is on his porch, one teenager on the street corner, one drug addict, one perverted pedophile, one abuser of mankind, one poor, guilt-ridden human being saved by God's grace, completely his work of redemption. Jesus' blood, no less than his blood, washing our sins away, plus his Spirit regenerating us and giving us a new heart and a new spirit. We are separated unto the gospel. This is what we do. We're looking for one Lydia in Philippi in Acts 16. And then remember the demon-possessed woman in the same chapter. And Paul deals with that demon, and she is saved by grace. In the book of Acts, you see individual, even the names of the people, like Lydia or the person, the Philippian jailer. It's unique, but it's very powerful. The person is born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of God by a water baptism as a child. You must be born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of God by belonging to a denomination. You must be born of God. You must be born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of God by being a nice person. You must be born again. And the church will not have any message unless it is, you must be born again by the grace of God. God. You know, it's God. Not you and me. It's God. It's the grace of God, forgiveness of God, Spirit of God, the mind of God, the way of God. So that's what I want to say today. Believe me, if we could see from heaven, this is how I feel that Paul, when he was saved on the road to Damascus, he goes down, he sees Jesus. His world is never the same again. It's like totally, absolutely, like totally, completely in different way of looking at life. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He said it three times in the book of Acts about his conversion. It's almost like when he got up off the ground, he was blind for 3 days. He was like, never see life the same way. It was always Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did it. Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is what you need. Jesus Christ is it. He is the gift. It's like the angels of Bethlehem saying, what did they say? What did the angels say? Luke 2, verse 10. Luke 2, verse 10. He's overrated. What? Do we got it? Okay, there we go. And the angel said, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Social reformation is no great joy. On a college campus, rarely you don't find great joy. You see parties, but you don't find great joy. In the local health club or in every walk of life in the United States of America, you find empty people, suicide rates are going through the ceiling. You find babies aborted. You find people distracted. You find people guilty. You find people looking and searching. Where is the great joy? Where is the great joy? The angel said, I bring you great joy. You know why? Because you are made righteous by the grace of God in 1 minute, and you are righteous forever and ever and ever. And one day you will see God in the flesh in Job 19. One day you will know, and then one day you can see it. I don't know if you see it. I have a little piece here to read. If I find the right one, it says, this pastor said of 41 years, at 30, when he was 30 years old, I get the best I could, after examining all the philosophies of the religions of the world, I said, nothing is better than the gospel. At 40, when burdens began to press heavily on me and years seemed to hasten, I said, nothing is good as the gospel. At 50, when there were empty chairs in the home and the mound builders had done me service, I said, there's nothing to be compared with the gospel. At 60 years of age, when my second sight saw through the delusions and vanities of earthly things, I said, there's nothing but the gospel. At 70, amid many limitations and deprivations, I sing, should all the forms that men devise attack my faith with treacherous art, I call them vanities and lies and bind the gospel to my heart. Do you know what's needed? The gospel. What is the gospel? It's to take an auditorium, a stadium, all of America. You listen to me. You listen to me based on get the book. out of the dumpster. Get the book. Read the book. Pay attention to what the Bible is saying in the book. The world is filled with sin, and there's so much problems with sin, and so much pain with sin, and there's so much pain and deprivation, and there's so much hypocrisy. Have you noticed any hypocrisy in our world lately? Huh? Black lives matter. Black, they do. And black baby lives matter. And they do. And every life matters. They do. And yes, there's problems everywhere. There's all kinds of things going on sexually. Sex trafficking and all of the pain and the drugs and the addiction and the people dying on the streets. What, are we out of our minds? And some little boy says he's a little girl, and we give him a little bit of applause for it. What, are you out of your mind? I can't. I'm sorry. You got to pray for me, guys. I'm hitting the wall. I honestly, you got to pray for me. I cannot handle. If you cannot stand, you learn how to stand, because God is a righteous God. That we should get in trouble because we are righteous. We should get in trouble because we do not agree with the world. We should get in trouble because things are not right, and I will say so. How about you? If things are not right, will you say that? Or will you do what everybody else is saying, pretend, oh, this is beautiful. It's like the king has no clothes on. Will you admit it? That there's a lie being perpetrated and shoved down our throats day and night. And as for me and my house, I do not believe that. I do not accept that. I do not want to see, this may be, listen, my, it sounds crazy. My mother is naked. That's a shame for me to see her. I don't want to see that. She needs a covering. She is precious to me. She needs honor and respect. And that should go to all my family. And it should be in our nature. And when you are told that by the world tells you some pagan, wicked, evil, pagan idea about it, what are you going to do about it? Come on, what are you going to do about it? You're going to go with it. What are you going to do about it? The way evil succeeds is by good people doing nothing about it. It's stupid. And you learn how to say it. I don't accept that. I don't believe that. I don't like it. I don't accept it. I do not believe that. That's not from God. This is salvation when you get changed and you're living in the slums of London. And the Salvation Army is born in London in those times with the dregs of society. What happened in the time of the Apostle Paul? It is paganism in Rome, empire. Everything was against Christianity. It will not succeed against paganism. Paganism is you can go with the temples and prostitution and all that good stuff that sinful people love to do. All that good stuff. What Paul said, you can't even sleep even one time with a woman that is not your wife in Ephesians chapter 5. You cannot even do it one time. Let not once it be named amongst you to the church at Ephesus. How will that religion succeed? It will flourish because God is in it. It will grow. It will increase. Why wouldn't the church grow in America? Because it doesn't have a message. It talks like everybody else does. They have a rainbow flag out in their front lawn, and some church has some rainbow flag. What are you, out of your mind? Crazy. I don't know. So let's finish. Let's just say, you get some fire in your belly. You get some conviction in your heart. We live in love. Love is what wins people. Love and understand. I'm not fighting with people. I'm not fighting with people. I'm loving people. It's true, devil. There will not be another flood. But mark it down. He's coming with a sword out of his mouth. and he's going to put things in order. And there's a new world coming. And it's not a world of wickedness and sin. It's a world of righteousness and truth. And it started here in you and I by God's grace. And it grows in us and it moves in us and we have fellowship in it. And we're to be on the same page, more or less. We're different, but at the same time, we are separated unto the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And let's just say, you know, it's good in a time like this, it's to share lovingly, graciously, the gospel of Christ, to know it in your heart and embrace it and say in your heart, I know I was made righteous by grace, and the Spirit has been given to us, and we're growing in Him. Sometimes salvation is like so radically clear. With Lydia, it seemed to grow. Excuse me. The Philippian jailer, it seemed to be like a radical transformation. With Timothy, we don't know, but it kind of like he became a very mature believer. So I'm just saying that the grace of God revealed to you that you have it. If you are sitting here today, the grace of God is revealed to you. That God is saying, I love you. I'm not against you. Your sins are forgiven and gone. I do not remember them anymore. They are gone. And when God forgets them, you forget them too. Don't recall them. They are gone. They are under the blood. They're washed away. We are free. We are His children. And now we live and move in a time where the message needs to be heard and appreciated and related to. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Paul said, pray for me that I would open my mouth as I ought to make known the mysteries of Christ. And that's our prayer for all the workers everywhere. It seems we are small in number, but that's how it was with David when he faced Goliath. That's how it was with Noah when he built the ark. That's how it was with Lot when he left Sodom and Gomorrah. That's how it was with Jesus and the disciples. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We are privileged to see and know and understand these things as we watch the media continue to direct our culture in ways that are strong and powerful. And there are many people like sheep led astray. But may you raise up an army, God. Would you raise up a spiritual movement, a work of grace, and affect people and teach them, save them. Lord Jesus, anyone listening to my voice coming in your heart, you coming to Jesus in your heart, please come. As you are in your heart to Jesus, and you say, Jesus, I am saved. I believe I am saved by your grace right now. Right now, you have forgiven me, you accepted me, you love me, and I take you. I am unworthy, I have sinned, I am imperfect. I have failed so many, many times, but I come to you, Jesus, as I am. And save me in Jesus' name, that I would be born of the Spirit, born of God. By faith, it happens by faith. So we live by faith. Then put it in our hearts and in our mouths to share the message of Jesus with people and help them find you. Maybe bring some to this church. Maybe bring some to a Bible study. Maybe bring a Bible to somebody that you know and tell them what part to read. Maybe pray for your neighbors and and hand out little Bibles or New Testaments and say, well, I'd like you to read this, and I'll talk to you later about it if you like. God bless you. And sow the seed. Help us, God. And this happening across our country, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.